Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. Joining me in studio right now is special guest, our governor candidate, Gretchen Whitmer. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
I'm very actually familiar with you from being downstate when your time in the House of Representatives and the Michigan State Senate. I would describe you definitely as a fighter, because whenever an issue came, you were a fighter as far as tackling things, and were aggressive for things that you were passionate about.
Thank you. Well, I felt very fortunate to have the years that I did in the legislature, and when I left, I really didn't know if I'd ever run for another office again. But I have found out very quickly that I have very little patience for poor management and little patience to wait for things to get better. I want to jump in and be a part of the solution, because I think we need fighters. We need leaders who are really in tune with what's going on in the state, and that's part of why I'm here in the UP so early.
Was there one particular thing that was sort of the last straw that said, okay, you're getting back in this?
So about 4 months into returning to private life and in the private sector, I was watching what was happening in the legislature and in the governor's office. Three things were happening. One was there was a scandal going on between House members. They were having an affair and a big cover-up, and it was making national news in an enormously embarrassing way, putting us on the national map. There was a road plan that was passed, and I saw the governor and the Republicans patting themselves on the back and pretending like they've fixed our infrastructure problems in Michigan, when I know darn well that that's not true. And the third was I saw what happened in Flint, which was a massive mismanagement. It was a failure of government at all levels, and people in that city are paying the ultimate price. Some, lives have been lost because of that mismanagement. I love the state of Michigan. I have spent my whole life here. I'm going to spend the rest of my life here. And we deserve better. I look at the Michigan my daughters are growing up in, and I want them to be proud Michiganders like I am. But we got a long ways to go to ensure that we're leading this nation again instead of lagging it.
The election's not until November 2018. Why announce and start running so early? It's a long time to campaign.
It is. And, usually in an off-year election, you'd say you don't jump out of the box this early. But, Michigan's a big state. We have a lot of territory to cover, but also big issues that we need to confront. And I think one of the lessons from 2016 might be that you can't take anything for granted, or anyone for granted, that no longer can we assume that 40% of the electorate is going to turn out and vote for a Democrat, and it's on the candidate to find 11% more of the voters. No longer can we assume that people in a big city are all going to vote Democratic, or people in rural areas are going to vote a certain way. It's incumbent on me, as someone who wants to be the leader of the Democratic Party and lead this state, to rebuild from the ground up, and that's what this is all about. It's really important that no one feels that they're left out of a recovery, that they're left out of Michigan's future, because we all have a vested interest in it. And that's why in a two-year campaign on week 7, I'm spending the whole week here going across the UP to engage with people.
Now, during your time as a legislator, you had times where you both worked closely with Governor Snyder and times where you were in direct opposition to him. With a Healthy Michigan plan that, Snyder was spearheading that and wanted to have that get that going, and it's here, and 600,000 Michiganders have insurance because of it. You worked with him on that. Now that's threatened. What would you like to see happen?
Yeah, so I'm glad you brought that up, because I love that you characterized me as a fighter, but also I think that I'm a good collaborator. If someone really wants to solve problems, I was happy to see Governor Snyder stake out that territory on the Medicaid expansion here in Michigan. It has helped so many people across the state, and I think in the UP especially so, with hospital systems that and people's lives who are getting coverage that wouldn't have before. So as the Trump administration and the Republicans in Washington have ran on repealing Obamacare or Affordable Care Act, whatever you want to call it, it is the same thing, despite what some people, out in the world think. I'm very leery of their effort to just repeal it. So I was happy to hear them at least talk about replacing it. I'm happy to see that they haven't made any moves yet, because I don't think they have a plan. My hope is that Michigan can continue on as we have. Some of the feedback from D.C., at least at certain points, has been states that want to continue with the expansion can. I hope that's the case for Michigan, and I hope that Governor Snyder is successful in talking to his own party to secure that right, because it has improved the lives of so many people, and I know that the economy here in the UP especially would be devastated if it simply went away, and that's something I'm very worried about.
The threat to the Affordable Care Act was enough to get people to gather on a Portage Lake Lift Bridge and have a march shortly after the Donald Trump's election there. And another march that they had in conjunction with the Women's March on Washington, D.C. was a sister's march here as well. So what women's rights are being changed. If you know, it could be characterized as assaulted in some cases. But I know that that's in your career, that has been one that you have championed as well.
Well, I've always believed that one of the most fundamental things that government should do is to protect all of our freedoms. And I include the right to make your decisions about your body a fundamental freedom that should be protected. And I've worked very hard to be a voice for women when there are so few voices in the legislature representing 50% of the population. And I don't profess to represent every woman on every issue, but I think that I want to fight to ensure we can all make our own choices, and that's a fundamental freedom. But, you know, we had a women's march in Lansing the same day, one of the sister marches, and it wasn't just women that marched. I always think that's important to point out. And there were groups, so many different groups that took part, whether they were environmentalists or Black Lives Matter or, Michigan Education Association. I mean, there were a lot of people that turned out who want to hold the Trump administration accountable and to make sure that the world sees that it's important to continue to raise our voices. And one of the things that I was really wanted to make sure that I conveyed in my remarks, because I was the keynote in the Lansing event where we had 9,000 people turn out, by the way, biggest group I've ever seen in all the years that I served in the legislature. But I thought it was really important to say, let's not demonize people who didn't vote the way that we did. Let's seek to understand. Let's extend a hand and not point a finger. And I think that that's really important. I am a Democrat. I am a fighter for the things that I believe in. I can be a collaborator if someone really wants to move the state forward. And I think as a candidate, it's going to be really important that I am engaging with people who supported Bernie Sanders, as well as people who supported Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, and people who were so mad at everyone, they didn't even bother to vote. Because we all have a stake in where Michigan's going, and this 2018 election is going to be an important one for every generation of Michiganders.
You're going to have a frustrating 2 years ahead of you, because there's going to be a lot happening both in Washington and in Lansing that you're not going to be able to do a whole lot about. You can speak your mind, but you can't pass a vote. You can't, veto anything. One of those things that are, is coming up quickly is Common Core, pulling that out. I know that education is something, again, that you have, staked a lot of energy in. And, that could be a change. Some say good thing to take Common Core away. Others say that could be disastrous.
Well, and with Betsy DeVos at the helm of the Department of Education in Washington, D.C., I think that might be just the first of many issues that are going to pop up. And as you pointed out, I'm not currently in a position where I can cast a vote, but I am working to build a platform that is inclusive and addresses the issues that we here in Michigan want to see tackled. And I'm excited about that. I think that there are so many people turning out to these events that I've been doing across the UP, but downstate as well, that are looking to be a part of something positive. It means that we have to challenge the things that we disagree with that pop up from Lansing or DC in the next 2 years, but it's also about building a forward-looking, aspirational, bold plan for Michigan, and that's where I'm going to be spending my energy, and I'm excited. It's not to say that I have every answer for everybody in the state of Michigan, but I want to start a real thoughtful conversation about where we go and make sure that it reflects the needs of everyone in the state.
Some head-scratching legislation in Lansing right now. The talk about repealing the pension tax, which especially people who are collecting pensions would be excited about. Then also this crazy thing about taking away the income tax as well. What is your take? What's going on?
Well, I think that there's a huge, lots of issues and being debated, and they all happen to be debated within the Republican Party right now, because the governor's on one side, the legislative Republicans are on the other. I'll tell you, I fought the pension tax. I was the governor's first year in office. He proposed a massive business tax cut, $2 billion, and he paid for it by taxing pensions, eliminating the earned income tax credit, and taking money out of our schools. Every one of those, I think, actually shifted more of a burden onto individuals. So it's with great irony that I hear the legislative Republicans saying, let's give individuals a break after for years and years they've piled more and more costs on us. They might not be passing taxes in the traditional sense, but they have shifted the burden of funding government onto people from companies and cut us at the same time. And to pretend now that they care about our individual burdens, I think is phony.
Recently, the money being spent on higher education, from at least information I saw, is now back to the level when Governor Snyder took office. So after massive cuts to higher education spending, we are said to be percentage-wise back to where we are. So is everything good now, or is, or are we at least back to square one?
Yeah, so one of the things that I think really has propelled me into getting into this is can't stand to listen to politicians lie to people and not to level with the public. You know, the Republicans came in and they slashed higher education. And when they did that, they forced more of the burden onto families and individuals and students who already were struggling to pay for higher education. To pretend now that they've restored the cuts to the levels that were there before they came into office, that they've all of a sudden become proponents of higher education, it's just not true. And so that's part of why I got into this race. I'm tired of politicians who are either trying to politicize our problems to benefit from it or just to not be honest with the public. If we're going to make Michigan a leader again, if we're going to ensure that we've got a concentration of talent, that means that our wages go up and employers locate here and we have entrepreneurs that can grow and build businesses here in Michigan, we've got to make education accessible to everyone. It doesn't mean every Michigan student is going to be able to get into tech and that's their aptitude, that they're all, you know, going to be these brilliant engineers and come to Houghton, but that should be a real option for people who are, cut from that cloth. It should also be an option for any kid who wants to go to community college, that they can afford to get a degree so that they can raise their families here in Michigan and afford to pay their bills. And for trade schools, we need to build career paths so that kids can really know that there are great careers out there, whether it's you can make a darn good living as a plumber or an electrician in the state of Michigan. You can raise your family, send them off to the schools, retire, and be confident that you can survive in the state of Michigan and thrive here. But we got to build those paths so people can see them. And I think government can do that. And once we do, we really have created an environment that we're going to be leaders again.
I'm throwing a lot at you since we have such a small amount of time, but I do want to say appreciate you coming up to the Upper Peninsula and making that, a part of the priority. I mean, you only announced, just a little over a month ago here, and here you are in the UP, so I definitely appreciate that. You're going to learn a lot about issues that, we face, which are different than they face below the bridge. And I'm going to ask you, I know it's something you're still just learning about, but we have an issue going on right now where they're doing exploratory drilling at the westernmost edge of the Porcupine Mountains Wilderness State Park. And of course, it's upset a lot of environmental groups. Highland Copper Company, which is a Canadian exploration company, they have the rights to do it, and they have the permit from the DNR. If you're kind of, what steps are you taking to learn about this, and what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, so, the premise of your question was that there are some unique issues here in the UP, and that there's no question. That's why I'm here. I think half the battle is really, it's showing up and listening and engaging with people. My parents always said, you have two ears and one mouth for a reason. You should listen twice as much as you talk, and that's a part of my education. I will tell you that for everyone across the state, but specifically on this issue, the state government has got to exercise real oversight when we are talking about stewardship of our natural resources. People move to the UP for a lot of great reasons, but one of the most prominent is because look at this beautiful land here and the water and the opportunity to enjoy the environment that is like nowhere else in the world. We are home to 20% of the world's fresh water. We need to be stewards of all of these beautiful resources and protect the people of the state. And so when you see that the DNR issues a permit and then lets people know what's going on, that's not how it should work. The public should have a right to a transparent government that is really accountable and watching over activity that is going on in the state of Michigan. Had our government exercised all of those responsibilities the way that they should have, we might not have a water crisis in a big city downstate right now. But we do. We still have a community that can't turn on their tap and drink water in the Great Lakes state. That philosophy is what protects us, and that's exactly what a Whitmer administration will mean, real oversight and real transparency for people so that when there is testing going on, people don't find out about it after it's already happened.
Gubernatorial candidate Gretchen Whitmer, thank you for coming on the program.
Thank you. I love coming to the UP. It's good to be back.
Joining me right now from the Copper Country Curling Club is Gary Lassala. Gary, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Now, March, it may not seem like the best time to talk about curling, but you guys have had some pretty big news, so it's a good opportunity to talk about what's been going on up there.
Right. The curling season is definitely coming to an end. The weather's starting to warm up. Everybody's ready for that. But the MEDC that we ran a big grant with and did some big upgrades in our club, they did a promotional video back in February. They filmed it back in February, and they just put it on their website on this Monday, on their Facebook site. And it's really taken off. It's gotten as of this morning, I checked it at 27,000 views. So just incredible.
Now, why did they do the video?
Well, we ran, like I say, a fundraiser last summer with the MEDC. It was called Public Spaces, Community Places. And how that fundraiser works, or grant, I should say, is whatever grant amount you submit, you have to match that. You have to make that amount, and then they match it. So we submitted our grant for $32,000, and we went a little bit over We raised a little bit over $32,000, so it doubled our amount, and it allowed us to get some just incredible improvements, long-needed improvements in the curling club.
Now, the building you use is the old drill shop building that's owned by Calumet Township. And, you know, when you were starting this process, I visited you there, and it was a lot of work that needed to be done. So it's quite amazing, the transformation. Talk about what you got to do.
Well, let me get back to the reason it's called the drill shop is it was originally built by the Calumet and Hecla Mining Company well over 100 years ago. And it was the purpose of it was to manufacture and sharpen drill bits for the CNH copper mines. Of course, the copper mines dried up at some point, and the mining operations for CNH stopped in 1968. That was their last mining operation. So the building just sat empty, mostly unused, mostly empty for like 45 years. Calumet Township ended up buying the building in 2004, and we were looking for a curling location then, and we got into it in 2005, put in two curling sheets in the back end of the building, and the relationship between us and Calumet Township and the building has just been incredible and so positive ever since.
What renovations were you able to make?
The big one for the curling club was what we call the warm room. We're calling it a community room now. Prior to this, the only warm spot in the entire building was 8x12. It was really small, 8 feet by 12 feet. So when you had curling teams coming in, there wasn't much room. We kind of laughed about it, called it the big closet. So with this, with the grant and with the money that we received, we built a very large community room. So I think it's like 24x30. So it really enhances the curl, you know, and it's a fully warm room, and you can sit after and you can watch curling matches that are going on and socialize. So that to the curling club was far and away the biggest thing. The other really nice upgrades to the building? Is it entirely handicap accessible throughout? Prior to the through this grant, it was not. The electrical system, the lighting in the building was updated. A high efficiency furnace, hot water heater was installed. The bathroom was really small and outdated. That was greatly improved and made handicap accessible. So making everything handicap accessible was very important to us. And we did that with the grant.
Were there thoughts at the time about just simply building a new building or going somewhere else that didn't take as much renovation?
You know, you would need just some huge corporate sponsorship to do that. We're talking in the, you know, very minimum in the $500,000 plus range if you really wanted to make something nice, probably $2 million. I just know from other curling communities that have done this. And if you have like like Kellogg or Dow or something like that backing you, you can do that kind of stuff. But locally, we just didn't have that.
Well, you still had to raise, you know, what probably sound like a ton of money at the beginning, $32,000 to raise from our community, and you were able to do that. Who made that possible?
Oh, it was just so many small donations, just an incredible number of donations from all over the U.S., up into Canada. Let me just mention some of the larger ones. The Calumet Township Development Authority, $5,000. The Portage Health Foundation donated $4,000. Keweenaw Health Foundation, $2,000. UPGO, $1,000. Lassila Insurance, $1,000. Alex Hughes of Atlantic Mine donated $1,000. Mike and Sue Mickus of Lake Linden donated $1,000. And the one I really have to thank and mention, Mr. Paul Leto, Calumet Township Supervisor. He put so much time and effort into making this project, and on top of it, he donated $5,000.
Wow.
Incredible.
Now, all the people that you know support this project, I can't imagine they're all curlers. I mean, it's a different reason.
A lot of them were, but we were just getting money from just people that I know are not curlers locally, and they just felt it was a positive thing for our community, because we want to turn this into a community center, not just a curling. Right now, curling is going on, but we have other activities lined up for the inside the building, because the building is really big, and the curling only uses one part of the building, maybe like a third of it. So a really big area. We're looking at getting some other activities in there.
We were talking about some of those when I came to visit the shop. Is there, if you narrow down what you're looking to do with that extra space?
Right. The original goal, and it's kind of still standing, is we have one area that we want to get hockey in. And this wouldn't be a full hockey rink, but it would be, you know, for winter, and it would be frozen for like shooting and goaltending. One area that we would like to see the baseball and softball groups come in, where they could set up a batting and pitching area. And then horseshoes, big area for that. And we are putting in a bocce ball court this over the summer. We're working on it right now.
Okay. People say, well, aren't there plenty of places for people to practice hockey? Well, when you get weather like what we've had this past week with the high winds and stuff, you know, having an indoor place, you know, you can't devalue the use of doing that.
Right. And most of like the indoor actual hockey rinks are real expensive to rent. You know, so the local hockey has to pay to have the ice time. And our ice is basically, since it's all natural, there's no refrigeration involved, is really cheap.
Do you need anything moving forward? Have you raised enough money, or do you have to go back to that and start again?
Well, the township is continuing to make upgrades to the building. They're like all the windows. This is an old mine building, like you see around here. They're all boarded up. They're all, you know, all the windows are broken just over the course of, you know, 50 years of neglect. And they're replacing the windows, and it's bringing in more light, and they're doing them in a historic fashion, so it looks like the building did back in the day. They've replaced several of them, and they're looking at replacing a lot more. And there's just always, you know, the roof needs repairs and stuff, so it would be nice to get a lot more money, but I don't know where that would. We're not really not trying to raise money at this point. Hmm.
The video that you mentioned, we'll post a link up on KeweenawReport.com so people can be able to see it. If people wanted to go online right now, do you know where that's posted?
You know, the web addresses are so long and so many different letters and numbers and stuff. If they were to Google Copper Country Curling Club and go to our curling site, right on the main page, there's a couple of links, and they could view it from there.
Well, when all the ice melts and summer finally gets here, what do curlers do? Is there a way to sharpen your skills during the warm weather, or do you just got to wait till next year?
Nope, pretty much just wait till next year. There's really nothing you can do in the off season.
All right. Gary, thanks so much for coming on the program, talking a little bit about this. Again, if people want to be able to see the video put out by MEDC, I've watched it. It looks great, and you know, the people need to do that. It's nice to see the Copper Country Curling Club being highlighted in that as well. So thank you again.
Thank you.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.